And so I praise the Lord that God's used Christian camping as a tool of a local church to help encourage young people to find God's call for their life. It may be bivocational, it may be serving in some particular job of life, but through every effort they have in breathing, they might honor and glorify the Lord with their life. And honestly, you have already set the spiritual tone through your singing, and praise the Lord for what He has done already in this service. I guess, Pastor, I just sat there on the seat, and I just, first of all, I asked the Lord not to let me get emotional today. I don't think it's working right now. Maybe He'll help. I just thank You for the transforming power of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Because I've had the privilege on this trip, and I do every summer as I work with young people, to see how God led in my life to come to Nova Scotia, and my wife and I, at 25, for the first time to see this place in 1982. Now you're doing the math in your head, I know. To see this beautiful provinces here in Eastern Canada. And God opened my heart and my wife's heart to that place. And I got back and I knew I wasn't supposed to do anything else except come to Nova Scotia. I didn't know if I'd be there a decade or two or three or four or maybe five, who knows. But over four now, as you heard. But I'm thankful for what God has done in ministry there in reaching souls for Christ. God does the work. We can't do anything in our own strength. And once we figure that out, and once we get in that position of wanting just God to use this old lump of clay for His glory, He will do that. And God has done that. And I thank the Lord for, I call these guys young people, but you know, they're not real young anymore. You know, Brother Farr and Brother Stearns and Brother Eagles I was just with, and they are. They really are. I wish I could be 40-ish again, but that's not going to happen, except in glory maybe. But what a blessing to see how God takes that life. And I pray the same for all of us who are here and listening to my voice to whatever means today, that you'll just come before God. And I challenged the college students on this yesterday. We only have one life to run for Christ. That was the title of it. One life to run for Christ. And we are running a race. And we only have one to give Him. And I thought, Lord, I wish I had another life. Pastor and I were talking at the door and said, I didn't need anything. I said, I wish I had another 40 years of ministry, you know. But God has a timetable. And God has a plan. And He just wants us to fit there. I was thinking of a couple of things as you were singing and also reading the scripture, Pastor. And this kind of stuck out to me. And that song, He is So Precious to Me, there's a phrase there that says, He patiently waited an entrance to gain. Now, I don't know what your life testimony is. Maybe there was a time God just kept on knocking on your heart's door. Maybe He said no the first time, or the second time, or the third time. He's still standing there at the door waiting to get in to your life. And there may be somebody here this morning, and you came, praise the Lord, you're here, but God might be standing at your heart's door today waiting to get in. And we can only come in when we recognize that we're a sinner in need of His saving grace, and turn from our sin and turn to Jesus, open the door, let Him come in, let Him be your Savior, let Him be your Redeemer, and you'll spend all eternity with Him. Who wouldn't want to open the door? And He'll help us as we fight this old evil body we've got, sinful body, sinful soul, until Jesus comes. You know, when you meet Jesus, it's wonderful because Jesus can answer life's questions. There are a lot of people out there with a lot of questions today all over this world. Through our own experience of building our new building in the last few years, I met many guys who were coming as men, tradesmen, to help on the property, and they were unsaved. And I met guys in their 20s and their 30s, and they didn't know anything about the Bible. Never even been to church, a Bible club, or nothing. And God opened up the door. And I began to tell them about Jesus. I pray that they'll all be saved. There's so many men I've been praying for that they'll come to know the Lord, even through that experience. But Jesus has the answers. When you meet Jesus, he'll answer the question, how can I be saved? And he'll say, I am the way. He'll answer the question, how can I be sure? And he'll say, I am the truth. He'll answer the question, how can I be satisfied? And he will answer that question that you ask. He is the life. He is the way, the truth, and the life. That's who Jesus is. And that message we must get out so everybody can know that he is the only way. I like what A.W. Tozer said, Christ is not one of many ways to approach God, nor is he the best of several ways. He is the only way. That's who Jesus Christ is. So we have a mission now and a ministry, regardless of whatever else we do to put food on our tables and eat and buy things or whatever. Our mission is a great commission, and we know that. We're not speaking specifically on that today, but that's our mission. How are we going to take that? How are we going to give back to God? We'll never earn our salvation, but he wants our life now. It's one life left. And if you gave your life after you were saved, you would experience so many blessings. You'd be praising the Lord every day, how God touched your life. You maybe never went to Bible school. Maybe just in church is all you've learned about the Bible up to now. But God wants to use you, and you'll start talking to people about Jesus. You'll be passing out tracts. You'll let them know that you love Jesus, what God can do to change your life. And through those experiences, you'll wake up every day, and you'll say, thank you, God, for letting my life with your word touch another life for your glory today. Otherwise, as a believer, we're empty. It's almost like we're lost again. We're empty unless we're sharing this old, old story, the story that we love to tell, I hope, so that people can know who he is. You know, we live in a day, and we have every day, where the devil is trying to keep us from serving God. The Bible says, be sober. Vigilant, for your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. Can you imagine if there was a stalker out there and you saw him or her or whoever it might be in your pathway different times? I mean, it gets kind of eerie, right? It gets kind of scary. And before long, we're going to be calling some kind of security to come check this person out because they're right there, almost in my face sometimes, or hanging out over here, and I see them a lot, and I don't even know them. But they're in my path, or they're in my eye view, and it's like, ugh. Do you know the devil is just like that in our path? The Bible says so. He's a roaring lion, and he's moving about, trying to defeat you and your and me in our spiritual life. And we say, I'm not more powerful than the devil. I'm not more powerful than he is, and I need help. God's right there to help you overcome the wicked one. But if we play with sin, we will get burned. If we find ourselves not dealing with the devil is a powerful source. I'll just give you a quick description. I am going to get to 2 Timothy, I promise you. This is introduction. The devil's names are these. Think about it. Have you seen him show up in your life in this way? Satan, devil, the adversary, accuser of the brethren, angel of light, deceiver, destroyer, evil one, liar, murderer, prince, serpent, and tempter, and so on. All listed in the Bible, all names from the Bible. That's who the devil is. And he's doing that. He's trying to keep us. He wants to keep everyone from going to heaven. And he certainly wants to keep a lot of people who are believers from serving God. I think we're going to realize as we look at 2 Timothy chapter 4 that we are going to be very W-E-A-K as a Christian if we don't watch vigilantly. 2 Timothy chapter 4, notice verse 5. In this particular text, we realize in the context that the Apostle Paul is sharing with Timothy the importance of preaching the word and going forward and serving God, and you know what, you've heard that many times, being instant, in season, out of season, so on and so forth. But I believe this passage also, not only to Timothy, but to all believers, because we all fit in this category of verses 5 to 9. And the challenge here, if you're writing notes on your Bible, I would encourage you to make one column and put these letters on it. W, underneath that put E, underneath that put E, and then underneath that put K. And there's your outline. Fill in the blanks. We'll do it real quick this morning. The first one is watch. 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 5. But watch thou in all things. I'll read the whole passage first. Endure afflictions, do the work of an evangelist, make full proof of thy ministry, for I am now ready to be offered, and the time of my departure is at hand. Fought a good fight, finished the course, kept the faith, and he talks about the crown of righteousness that's there ready for him to receive. Acts chapter 29 says, for I know this, that after my departing, shall grievous wolves enter in among you, not sparing the flock. Therefore watch, that's Acts 20, and remember, I warned you day and night with tears. Luke says, blessed are those servants, those Christians, whom the Lord, when he cometh, shall find what? Watching. We have to watch for the devil's influence in our life. And we have to deal with it right away, just like you're watching for some stalker nearby. Right away, you want to deal with it. Because what happens sometimes if we get too familiar? Young people do this. The word watch means to give attention, not drifting. Let me ask you a question. If the anchor's not down, and the paddles aren't moving, and the motor isn't running, what happens to the boat? Any fishermen here? It starts moving away, doesn't it? There's no anchor down. And so it doesn't matter how much you paddle. I mean, if the anchor's down, you're not going to move. But when there's no anchor, when there's no anchor in your life, when there's no hope in your life, when there's no relationship with God in your life, you are going to drift as an unbeliever and eventually end up in hell for all eternity, the Bible says. But as a believer, if we don't have our anchor down in our Christian life, we're meeting with God every day, and we're watching for the devil, we're letting the power of the Word of God not only transform our soul and take us to heaven, but we're also letting it transform our daily life, and we're vigilant, and we're watching. We're looking at God, we're thinking about the verses of Scripture we read that day, and we're letting the Word of God begin to change us from within and help us, give us a clearer view of who our God is. We're watching. We must be watching, or else you won't have an anchor down. You'll drift, and before long, you started over here, loving God, got saved, on fire for God, and you went way, let's go left, okay? You went way over here, my way, and you got away from that time with God. Don't stop watching. Pick this up. Watch it and read it every day. Watch it and read it every day. It's the only thing that's going to help you grow as a Christian, not just on Sunday only, as great as Sunday is. God wants you on Monday to pick it up, add to what you heard on Sunday, and Tuesday what you read on Monday, and right on through. That's why midweek prayer meeting is so good for a Christian, because they come back in the middle of the week, and they're praying with God's people, and they're sharing their prayer requests, and they're sharing a testimony, and they're concerned about this other individual, and here's a difficult time I'm having, and they'll mention it to the pastor maybe while they're there, and other believers, and you just feel like you go out of there, praise the Lord for this opportunity in midweek. It really has fired me up again to go on to serve the Lord. I want to get my Bible out tomorrow and read it again. And if you don't have a Christian life like that, I'd say go back today to your knees. Say, Lord, show me why I don't have that kind of heart. I know I got saved, but Lord, I want to get in this book and start reading it. And I don't want to get out of it until I feel like you're in the room. If I feel like you're here beside me. And Lord, as I read this word and I sense it's the power of God, just like the day you saved my soul and you brought me out of the pit of sin and set my feet on the rock, Christ Jesus, and I knew that day I was gloriously saved. Lord, I want to know this day that you are here with me. and that you'll never leave me. You'll help me through all my decision making. And I want to watch all around me so the devil won't come, the enemy, and steal away the closeness that I have to you right now. God will answer that prayer, but you got to watch. If you're drifting, it's because your anchor's not down. It's not been settled. It's not been determined. Who shall enter or ascend in the hill of the Lord, or who shall stand in his holy place? Psalm 24, he that hath clean hands and a pure heart, who hath not lifted up his soul unto vanity, nor sworn deceitfully, he shall receive the blessing from the Lord and righteousness from the God of his salvation. That's how you enter into that holy place as a believer, this side of heaven. You have that heart. And I believe there are some basic things we must do. I'm going to give these to you real quick. Under the word watch. Turn from sin. You're writing them down. Number two, talk to God. I mentioned that. Trust his word. Turn from sin. Talk to God. Trust his word. Let those three points ring in our ears. When it comes to watching, I got to turn from sin. I got to talk to God. I got to trust his word. I got to turn from sin. I got to talk to God. I got to trust his word. I got to turn from sin. I got to talk to God. I got to trust his word. Every day in this watchful mode I must be in as a believer. I'll go about my business, but there's some things, temptations he's going to put in my pathway. And he's going to want me to yield to it. Maybe some of you are already in that mode. It is taking over your Christian life and walk with God. Sin's gotten in, and it's taking you away. And you feel so guilty when you even come to the Word of God, or you even come to the house of God, or someone even speaks to you about God, because you don't feel like you're there. You know why? Because a wicked one, the enemy, has come in, and he's pulled you away from fellowship with your Lord. And we can get back. We can get back by coming and kneeling on our face before the Lord and say, Lord, I have sinned against you. And I want today to crawl back into your presence and believe your promises and follow your path that you've got for my life. Lord, I want to do it with all my heart. He's there. He's right there. The door's wide open. He just wants us to walk through. Turn from sin. We got to put to death our old mortal bodies. We have to. We got to mortify the flesh, the Bible says. We must find ourselves in a spirit of prayer on a regular basis. Colossians 4 says, continue in prayer. Colossians 4, 2 and 3, continue in prayer and watch. Right there in the same passage. Continue in prayer and watch in the same with thanksgiving. Turn to God. Turn from sin. Talk to God. Trust his word. It's important that we watch the spiritual growth of our soul. I challenge young people about this all the time. It's easy to remember this passage, young people, because it's 2, 2, 2, 2. 2 Timothy 2:22. And it says this, flee also youthful lust. Do you realize this person that's 40 years old and 50 and 60 and 70, and anywhere in between, they can have youthful lust? Do you know that? It's not just for young people, teenagers. Flee also youthful lust, but follow righteousness. How many of you have ever followed a car before? How close are you? You don't have to answer that. They're pretty close over here in this fast traffic we have around. I noticed pretty close on the bumper. But we're following. You're closely following righteousness. It goes on to say in 2 Timothy 2:22, follow faith, follow charity or love, follow peace. I love the rest of this verse. With them, underlined it. With them that call on the Lord out of a pure heart. Find friends who also are following righteousness, faith, charity, peace with them that call on the Lord out of a pure heart. How do young people pick their friends? There's your verse. 2 Timothy 2:22. You don't pick the ones that are not fleeing from youthful lust. You pick the ones that are clinging to the truths of God and want God to lead them in the right path. And you will find those are the kind of friends you need to be with. He said to the church at Thessalonica, and you see it through all these books, and he's speaking to all these churches in the New Testament. And he says, let us not sleep as do others, But let us watch and be sober. It sounds like the first century Christians had a problem too, didn't they? We all have. Every century since and every century till Jesus comes, which hopefully will be in this one, we have to watch and be sober. Be serious-minded. Be balanced in our mind and thinking. And it starts right here. If all the Bible you get is on Sunday, you're going to struggle. You're going to struggle and struggle. And after a while, even Sunday Bible won't mean too much to you. All we'll think about is going home or doing something this week. We've wandered away. It's a terrible place to be in when you've wandered away from God. Faithful is he that calleth you, who also will do it. Young people, the Bible says, thy word is a lamp unto my feet. It's a light unto my path. I can see down here around my feet, and I can see down the path as far as God wants me to see. The word of God is that. Every verse almost in Psalm 119 speaks about the word of God. Get to know the word. Watch. Watch. And then endure. And I won't be long in the following, I promise. The word endure. See it in your text. But watch thou in all things, verse 5. Endure afflictions. All of these, obviously, are a series of sermons. But I'm just going to mention a few things. If you remember Romans chapter 8, it speaks about God's love that won't let you go. You know there's a song by that same title. Romans 8 talks about God's love. It endures forever. God's love is there for us at all times. Nothing can separate us from the love of God. All that passage. In our life, there will be anxieties, there's going to be worries, there's going to be fear in our life. Any of you got fear, worries, or anxieties? Now, everybody raise your hand, because I know we do. Okay? Right. We do. We have it. What are we going to do about that? I'm so glad that God's love won't let us go. Can you imagine one of your children, if they just were having a hard time one day, and what would you do? Say, oh, go on. We wouldn't do that. We'd be right there at their door, even if they're an adult. We'd be right there as a child, going to their bedroom, trying to talk to them, trying to help them over that particular hard time. That's our God. He's as real and more real than anybody horizontally in our pathway. And it's a blessing that he tells us and reminds us, nothing, the word nothing means nothing, will separate us from the love of God. And Paul said in 2 Timothy 4, he said, the Lord stood with me and strengthened me, that by me the preaching, or your testimony, we could say, might be fully known, and that all the Gentiles might hear and say, I was delivered out of the mouth of the lion. That doesn't mean he was in there with Daniel. That means he was delivered out of the mouth of the enemy. God will deliver us. If he can deliver us out of our lost condition and make us a believer in Christ, he can deliver us every day from fears, anxieties, worries. Now let me ask you this. Does that mean, all right, we just take a little stamp and stamp it on the worry? Okay, it's gone. No. Doesn't work that way, does it? No. You may worry about it tomorrow, the next day. You may be anxious about this, on and on. But it's wonderful to know that we're not in that condition, in that state, in our lives, that all of us are there, one time or the other, that we have to move around life without God. We don't. I'm so glad the same power, and it took the power of God to deliver me from sin. That same power delivers me now from other things of life that we're still dealing with because we got the old flesh, because we... old sin nature's pounding on us and all these things. We're not trusting God as we ought to do sometimes. I've been there, done that more times than I want to admit. Maybe you do too. But I'm so thankful. There's one thing that I have learned in the valley times that I've been in. And it started before I ever came in Nova Scotia. We had a little girl that was 3 days old. We surrendered our life to come to Canada to serve God. And God took our little child. Little girl. That was probably my first experience in my wife and I of going through something like that. And there have been other situations since. just in life and circumstances and so forth. But those valleys sometimes are so hard, they're so deep. You agree with that? I want everybody to raise a hand if you've been in a valley at all in your life. All right, okay, I'll make sure I'm preaching to people who are like me, you know, with a problem. And that those valleys get so deep. And I have found that when I go to the book of Psalms and I'm reminded of who God is, and it takes a series of going to the Word of God, a series of times going to the Word of God, and I begin to think about it, I begin to realize there was hope for me at Calvary, and there's hope for me now. And as I begin to go through the verses and learn a little bit more about God and understand that His arms really are around me, He never let go yet, that He's going to help me get out of that valley. You've heard songs. Songs have been written from people in the valley. It's in the valleys we grow. Poems have been written about it. And that is true. I found myself, nobody wants to say, Lord, I'm signing up for the valley today. But I found in my life, when God has chosen for me, maybe it's my own selfishness, maybe it's my own lack of trust, whatever it be, but somehow I ended up in that valley. I found times there. I saw God like I never had before. You know why? I exhausted myself of myself. And I realized I couldn't do anything. But God could do it all. And it's through those times that I really wouldn't trade anything for that. Because sometimes you don't learn other ways. And God helped me to endure. I'm glad He did. Sometimes we have to endure opposition from the world and enemy there. But 2 Timothy 1, you can write it down as a verse. God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. Power, love, sound mind means a balanced mind. God hasn't given us the fear. He's given us this. His power can do everything. His love can cover everything. His the sound mind we get from learning and studying the Word of God, that means everything. And it just casts out, perfect love casteth out fear, right? That's what happens. That's why we're going to be with God. It's not just a saying you kind of stick on your forehead and everything's good and you walk on. No. Yeah, that's part of enduring. The psalmist said, delight thyself in the word which I have loved. Isaiah said, fear ye not the reproach of men, neither be afraid of their revelings. Romans 9 says, whoever believes in Jesus shall not be ashamed. Ephesians says, faint not at my tribulation. Paul said again to the Corinthian church, therefore, seeing we have this ministry, as we have received mercy, we faint not. We faint not. Watch, endure, evangelize. He was to do the work of an evangelizer. And that was Timothy. Do the work of an evangelist. That's another sermon. We won't preach it today. I may touch on it a bit briefly after lunch. But God wants our life to communicate to a lost world who Jesus is. And nobody else can do that except a believer. When Jesus met the maniac of Gadara and cast out the demons, and this man's life was transformed, the Bible says in Mark 5, you don't have to turn, He says, go home to thy friends and tell them how great things the Lord hath done for you and hath had compassion on you. This man full of demons, God changed him. He said, go home and go tell somebody. When Jesus met the woman at the well on the road to Samaria, you remember that? And this lady already had five husbands, and Jesus presented Himself as the living water that could change her life for eternity. And she trusted the Lord, and she went back to her city. And the Bible says, essentially, she turned the city upside down because of her testimony. Many people were saved, the Bible says, in that city because she met Jesus. Oh, we need to introduce Jesus to people in this world. Evangelize. And then finally, you say, well, preacher, where's the K at? I know you're already thinking that, right? And he goes on to say, through the work of evangelists, make full proof of your ministry. That means to bring it to completion. That means to keep moving forward. Keep moving forward. W-E-E-K. If we don't focus on the W-E-E-K, guess what's going to happen? We're going to become W-E-A-K. We are going to faint in our tribulation. We are going to faint when it comes to spending fellowship with God. We are going to faint when it comes to doing the work of God and enduring and evangelizing, and we won't keep going. But the Apostle Paul went on to say, I am now ready. I've made full proof of the ministry God gave me, and I'm ready to be offered, and I know the time of my departure is at hand. He made it clear in the Word of God that it was now just about time for him to go. He had stayed faithful. He kept faithful in serving God. He had responded to God when he said, take heed to the ministry which thou hast received from the Lord, that thou fulfill it. That's the same word. That you complete it. That you finish your course. And he made it clear here. I fought the fight. I finished the course. And I've kept the faith. That's where God wants all of us to be. We're not going to be perfect. We're going to slip. God will pick us up. We'll slip. Sometimes several times a day, God will pick us back up. There's one thing about it. We have the opportunity to live for God and the best we can show this world who our Savior is. And better yet, we have more opportunity to get closer to our Heavenly Father. The best place we can be. It'll help your work go better. It'll help your relationships with husbands and wives go better, with children go better, relationships at the workplace. And people will begin to see somebody who's not a saint, none of us are, but someone who has experienced something they've never experienced. And that's knowing and walking with God. We'll go through challenges. We'll go through many trials. But thank God we have blessed assurance in Jesus Christ. So heads are bowed and eyes are closed this morning. I wonder today,